Welcome to Boutique Practices. I'm your host, Dr. Alex Pienko, aka Dr. Mama Bird. I'm a chiropractor, entrepreneur, wife, and busy mama, and this is the place where you will learn how to design a practice that fits into your life and your calling rather than trying to fit your dreams into a box. I'm going to show you how you can do this with a low volume, part-time, and high-touch chiropractic or physical therapy practice that pays you like the doctor you are. Girl, if you are sick and tired of working crazy long hours, rushing from patient to patient, and not getting paid well, all while missing out on the most important events of your life that are happening back at home, then you're in the right place. I'm gonna show you how you can get back to enjoying both your life and the work you do, all while making more money doing it with a boutique practice. Friend, it's time to stop hustling and take a step of faith. Let's get started. What up, friends, here in the Boutique Practice Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Alex Pienko, and today we're going to jump on a topic that I think sometimes gets conflated or mixed up in the message of how to invest or how much not to invest in a business. This is something I think really needs cleared up, not across the board, but it's something that if you are wanting to open a practice and you're wanting to be an entrepreneur, you have to have clear understanding and vision of. And that is, what is the difference between an investment and debt? Or what is the difference between a liability and debt in your business? These are some terms that, depending on who you talk to, they can potentially have different meanings or at least different understandings. And so I'm going to explain for the context of how I think about it. Now, if you are somebody who like got a degree in finances and you know the banker terms or like the very specific terms for these two different things, I 100% understand if there is a different meaning, or I know that there can be different meanings here. I will say this is more for the context of helping people to really evaluate and consider their mindset when they go into business, especially their money mindset. Because if you don't have the right mindset, you can know all the things, but if you don't have the right mindset, it's not going to matter. Think about your patients, right? You can have a patient who is struggling, like two people struggling with the exact same thing. One person who thinks they are going to get better and the one person who thinks they won't can get the same exact treatment protocol, the same exact everything. And the one who believes they are going to get better is going to get better a lot faster than the one who doesn't necessarily think it's possible, or the one who doesn't think it's possible, whose mindset is on this is just how I am, this is just how things are, da 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 da. Like they have a negative, pessimistic mindset. They may not ever get better. They are comfortable being stuck and they will stay stuck. And so as an entrepreneur, we have to think differently. If you want to be a business owner, you are an entrepreneur. You do have to think about things a little bit differently. And so I'm not here to say like, hey, like, throw these true definitions out of the water. It doesn't matter, but I'm using them. I just want to give the caveat that I'm using them for the understanding of how to look at money from a mindset perspective. So when, let's just jump in. What is a liability in a business and what is a debt in a business? Or really, when I think about how I am looking at the assets that I manage, so I personally think about the money that is in our bank account as assets that I manage. These are, everything belongs to God. They are His. He has given them to me to manage. I don't own a thing. Everything is something that I am here to steward. I'm here to manage. And so that's one piece of the puzzle, is to step back and take a look and say, hey, it ain't your money. It ain't your business. They aren't your gifts. It's not your vision. It's not your goals. None of it. It's all been given to you to steward and to manage. And for me, it actually makes it a lot easier for me to appreciate when I realize it's not mine and I'm taking care of it for somebody else, that I am being held responsible, or I've been given the responsibility, gifted the responsibility to do something, take care of, manage something else. And also to understand that when I am managing my assets well, or managing the assets that have been given to me to manage well, I can be trusted with more. And it's not just that God can trust me with more, but for me, having had to work through a lot of money mindset, which a lot of us do, I think all of us probably do, trusting myself with money and growth and business is something that I've had to grow into. I didn't always trust myself, and I'm continuing to grow in the amount that I feel comfortable managing. I can tell you 5 years ago, I did not feel comfortable managing all the things that I have right now. I didn't feel like I was ready. I had to learn to grow into that. And the more comfortable you get with it, the more you actually are, you're able to man you the more you're able to manage, the more responsibility you get, right? Just like a child, you don't expect a 2-year-old to do the dishes, right? But a 15-year-old probably, like a 15-year-old you expect can have be responsible enough with cutlery and putting things away and taking care of the plates, not dropping the plates, right? Like I wouldn't give that to a 2-year-old. Obviously, right? There's different levels that you grow into. The same thing with a business. So the first thing is recognizing that everything that you have is an asset that you are on this earth to manage. And if you would like to manage more, you also have to show that you're responsible to manage more. That's just how it works. You have to believe that you're responsible yourself, but also you have to be responsible with it. If you expect God to trust you with more, okay? There's some great parables in the Bible that go over this. Matthew 25 verse 14. I'm actually just gonna read it to y'all because I don't do the best at summarizing. But I encourage you to get in your word and look at it. But in the parable of the talents, Matthew 25 verse 14 starts out with, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, or which, from my understanding, the talents were like representing like thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars. I can't remember exactly. I can come back and let y'all know. Y'all can look that up. I can't remember if it was tens of thousands or even close to $1 million. It was a lot. Maybe it's 100,000. Anyways, so to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each he gave according to their own ability." Okay, big thing here. God will trust you with what your ability level is. "Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more." So he took that money and he invested it and he doubled what he was given. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. There's so much rich information here. I again go in and read it and like pray over this and ask for wisdom in the scripture. Moving on. "And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground.'" Y'all, there's so much to be said right in this section where he talks about, Master, you reap where you don't sow, meaning, there's a lot of money mindset, like just tied into that one sentence of saying, somebody who has more than me, and who potentially, like, this is the reverse bias of wealth, really is the best way to describe it. There are people who are they have a lot of money and they look down on people who have little, but there's also a lot of people who have little, but they look down upon and they are critical upon the rich, really sometimes for absolutely no reason. They just assume that they got there for no reason, or that it was just give it to them, or like there's all kinds of nasty thoughts and lies that someone can prepare based on maybe one or two interactions or even vicarious interactions with somebody with wealth. Money does not make somebody evil. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that create evil in someone's heart, right? That can get rooted in someone's heart and that can become a huge problem. Again, we can go into this so many different ways when we talk about money mindset on another episode and even more depth. But what you can see here is this person who didn't have a whole lot was jealous, really, and did not approve or appreciate. And he had this reverse bias against the person who was his master, who gave him an opportunity, and he wasted it. He put it away and said, I'm afraid to invest. I'm afraid to do anything with it. I don't even want to like deal with it. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to, I have a fear of failure, maybe even a fear of success. I don't trust myself. I don't trust you. He's saying so much in this sentence, but his master answered to him, you wicked and slothful servant. He's like, I gave you an opportunity here. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and you gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own interest. So he said, okay, you know that I have employees, essentially. Like you can't do it all, especially as you grow in business. You need a team, and not everybody can be like, there's different levels of people on a team, right? Like that's how any business works, right? The bigger a business grows, the more people on the team. Not everybody gets to start at the same level. He said, okay, so from your understanding, it sounds like I don't work to you. I don't work and I just make money off of other people. Well, if you didn't want me to make money off of this, you should have at least invested it and got my interest back, right? And so sometimes we do this with not just our own money, but we do this literally with our own talents. God gives you talents to steward over, and sometimes we hide them to ourselves. And this is where I think we can get conflated in a boutique practice versus a conventional practice, and there can be confusion here. This is one of the points. So a conventional practice that's high volume model, it says like, you just got to go, see as many people as you can. You have a gift, you need to get that gift out there. Sometimes it's often at the sacrifice of the other things that you are responsible for, the other things you have been called to be stewarded over. And that can be toxic and unhealthy. And that's where boutique practices came from, was this idea, societal pressure within healthcare to potentially, not just potentially, but often to neglect the other things we have been given to steward over, our families, our health, our in light or without considering them in light of one thing that we have to steward over. So we have our gifts and our talents to serve people through healthcare, right? But you have multiple things that you are supposed to be stewarding over, and you cannot allow one, serving people, to become your God, essentially. And that is what drives every single thing that you do. That's been my message this entire time. But my message has not been is to hide your talents away. I don't do low volume because I just don't feel like seeing more patients. I intentionally choose to have a low volume practice for several reasons. One, because that's what I feel my mission and vision is. Like, I'm in alignment with what God has called me specifically to do. God has not called me to serve 100 people a day. Some people he has. And if that's what he has called you to do, then there's no shade, there's nothing thrown at you, because that is exactly what you're supposed to be doing if that's what God calls you to do. He will equip you with the energy. He will equip you with the spirit. He will equip you with the people, all the things to do what you have been called to do. But if he hasn't, you don't need to step into somebody else's calling. That's my message. You need to step into your own. At the same time, one of the other reasons I am a big advocate for low volume practices is because I know I'm not the only one called into a low volume practice. And also I have other things to steward. So like my family, my health, stewarding y'all here in boutique practices and teaching. And there's only so much capacity and bandwidth at this point that I have. And God will expand that bandwidth as his purposes for me expand. But I'm going to do the best that I can with what he's been given me. I'm not going to hide it away. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not going to do this thing because I just don't feel like it. It's all about me and my vision and my purpose, and this is what I want to do. That's not where boutique practice comes from. It's, yes, it's your vision, it's your dream, it's your goal, but it's not all about you. It's been very popular societally to put yourself first all the time. And I'm not against you considering yourself. I'm just saying it can't be all about you all the time. That's not the point of what we're doing here. The point of what we're doing here is to get clear of what your vision and your mission has been given to you to steward, to understand that vision and that mission, and not try to take somebody else's, not try to do what everybody else is doing because that's what everybody else is doing, but to get really clear and understand what God has called you to do and for you to step into the purpose he has given you, the reason he created you, and not just one of them, but all of them. Because you are more than just a doctor. You're more than just a practitioner. There's so much more to you than just your profession. That's my primary message that I want to make sure people understand. Now, the secondary message, especially when we're coming back to talking about money, we're talking about stewarding our money, not just our talents, but our money as well, is to understand that if you are going to be an entrepreneur, you absolutely have to understand you will invest in your business. Now, again, I'm a huge fan of low startup, low overhead, potentially lower financial investment practices, not potentially lower financial investment practices, getting started somewhere. That said, you have to start somewhere. You have to invest your time. Yes, you're going to have to invest money. Do I think you need to invest $100,000, $200,000? Do I think you need to go get a huge business loan if God has not called you to do that? Absolutely not. You will be given the resources based on your capabilities and your vision. He will equip you for what he has called you to do. If God has not called you to open that giant practice and take out a $200,000 loan to get one to do so, I encourage people, don't waste your energy trying to do that if that's not what you're supposed to be doing. Right? Now, I am a firm believer that if you get off of the path that God has you on, he's going to pivot and he's going to move. And typically what he does is he slams doors in your face. He doesn't want you to walk through. He's going to say, no, I know you think this is what you're going to do. And trust me, I know, because my nose has been bloodied multiple times where I'm just going head forward, face first into something that I think I want to do. And I'm not necessarily consulting with the Lord and making sure I'm on the right track. And he, boom, slams that door right in my face to protect me from doing something I don't need to be doing. And he hasn't called me to do. So that said, yes, you can start a practice on a dime. Maybe not like an actual dime. Maybe you can. I don't know. But, compared to, taking out $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, however much in loan money, you can start a practice with $5,000. You can start a practice with very, very little. Your hands, your table, and your car. You can use paper until you have the finances. You can use free resources. You can do so much on a dime, essentially, and start a practice and grow it. It is totally possible. That said, you're still going to be investing your time. You're still going to be investing your energy. You're still going to be investing in yourself, nurturing yourself, whether you're listening to a podcast, you're reading books, you're learning more about yourself. There is going to be an investment into your practice. And this is where the term I talk about when I'm talking about liability versus a debt in your business or really in life. So for the purposes of this term liability, I am looking at liability as something that you potentially use money for that you do not have. So maybe you take out a loan, use a credit card, maybe you use loan money to yourself from savings or retirement or whatever, but you take money and you invest it into your business. You use money to create the opportunity to make more money. So that five talents the first servant got, he said, okay, I've got five talents. It's not mine, it's somebody else's. And I'm going to make more money with it. That's the same thing as having potentially a loan, saying, hey, I'm going to give you a loan. Or if you take out a credit card, you take out a loan from a family member, you take out, $5,000, $10,000 from your personal savings to start a business. Understand that when you do that, when you invest in whether it's equipment, you invest in education, so potentially coaching, you invest in the systems to actually get your practice started, maybe the gas it takes for you to drive to, if you're a mobile car, a mobile doc, whatever it is that you are taking money from, you're doing it with the intention to make more money. That is what a liability is. Yes, it's technically negative on your statement until you pay it back, but you are using it with the intention to make more money. Now, a debt, and this is where a lot of people get frustrated, or they're like, hey, I don't want to go into debt to open a business. I don't want to go into too much debt to, like, the term debt. This is where our mindset needs to be rearranged. A debt is going and taking out money or utilizing money that is not necessarily going to produce more money, or if you're taking it out irresponsibly. I usually think about a debt as like if somebody were to get a credit card and go to the store or go to the mall and buy like Gucci bags and, you know, a bunch of stuff that the minute you walk out the store with it, it's no longer worth as much and it doesn't actually produce any more money for you. That is a debt. Now, for some people can argue things like, hey, like if you're, especially if you're like a realtor, like you've got to look the part. So you've got to wear, you know, you've got to invest in looking the part for the position that you're in. Now, and that can be an investment if you are intending for it to do that. If you are taking out money just to have something because you want to have it, but you don't have a clear plan on how you're going to pay that money back and what your return on that investment is, that is a debt. So your student loans, y'all, don't become an actual debt until you decide to stop practicing, until you decide to stop doing something with whatever you learned from taking out those student loans. Now, that doesn't mean you have to practice specifically with what it is that you did. I have student loans to become a chiropractor. I'm not always going to be practicing. I'm currently actually not even practicing, but I am, would not be here talking to you if I had not gone through chiropractic school. So I am still utilizing the student loan money and taking that opportunity that I was able to invest in and turning it into money every single day. Just about every single day. I am taking that liability and making sure it stays a liability on my personal ledger, meaning I am not wasting that opportunity that I took out. Now, I will say I definitely potentially have some student loan debt for other degrees that I do absolutely nothing with, didn't get anything from completely, was just dicking around in college, for lack of a better term. It is what it is. I have not completely figured out how to make that money back to make it no longer a debt. And people do that. They go out and they get degrees and they don't use them and they don't use anything they learned from them or the experience in that time frame. It's unfortunate. And like I said, I'm pushing my chiropractic education more than I am my master's degree and my other degrees that I have, because they are the ones that are going to be the biggest. They're the ones that I enjoy. They're the ones that I am called to. They're the ones that my vision and mission align with. I was not really paying attention to my vision and mission when I decided to go get my master's degree. I was just doing something to do something. And I clearly chose not to do the smart thing. I know I chose not to do the smart thing. So yes, I do have some debt. So first of all, I want to clear anybody here who's like, oh my gosh, I feel terrible because I have all this debt. I made all these choices and they weren't necessarily the right choices, or you know, I wasn't being intentional with how I spent money in the past. You're not alone. A lot of us have done that. A lot of us have made mistakes, and it's totally fine. It's not okay, but now that you know what you know, you can move forward and do something about it and can stop recreating a pattern and a cycle of utilizing money irresponsibly, utilizing money outside of what you have been stewarded to use it for. But there's no shame and condemnation here if that's something that you have done. This is meant to be convicting, meaning saying, hey, moving forward, now that you know, it's not your money. If you didn't know that before, now you know it's not your money. You're here to steward it and you're here to make good choices with it and to do your best to make good choices and stay in alignment and stay clear with why you're using money or potentially taking out a debt or taking out a loan to utilize money to finance your business, finance whatever it is that God has called you to finance. Now you know you can do better. So I'm here to say very clearly to everybody who's listening, if you have heard me say, hey, you don't have to take out a loan. Hey, you don't have to do that. I am not saying that you will not invest in your business. And I'm not saying that you can't take out a loan or that you shouldn't take out a loan. Everybody's mission is different. I have taken out loans for my business and I don't regret them because I know God told me to do it and I'm using them and we are making money having opportunities we wouldn't have had otherwise if we hadn't been called to invest in our business. I'm a huge fan of starting businesses with other people's money instead of my own. I think there's some very smart and savvy ways to potentially do that with grants, investors, other things like that. And so I'm here to let you know, if you are frustrated and you're like, I don't know if I want to go into debt to start a business, you probably shouldn't. Honestly, if your mindset is I'm going to go into debt, then I would work on your money mindset and your understanding of money and the understanding of the difference between an investment and a liability, and creating a plan should you decide to move forward with utilizing a loan, credit card, whatever it may be, utilizing finances to get started before you actually do so. Because if your mindset is, oh, I'm going to go into more and more debt, I'm afraid of debt, I don't like debt, that, my friend, is something you will have to work through as an entrepreneur, regardless of you want to or not. But it's easier to work through that before you actually have the responsibility on your lap than it is to be building that plane of resilience in your money mindset at the same time of growing a business. So I encourage y'all, if money mindset is something you need work on, or you want to dive into something that you know that you could learn, improve from, I think we all at any point, even like, you know, the people with millions and billions and trillions of dollars get hung up on money mindset at times. You are not alone. So first of all, you're not alone. It's like 99.9% of us. If you feel like, oh man, my money mindset probably isn't the best, it's most of us. It just is what it is. And at the same time, you don't have to leave it where it is. Recognize that potentially you could have some growth in that category, because we all can. And go for it. Go for growth, because that's ultimately what's going to happen whether when you're in business or not. A business is going to grow you up. So I cannot wait to chat with y'all in the next episode. Would love to hear your comments and your thoughts. And I hope y'all have a blessed day. If you don't know it, you are loved. You cannot earn it, y'all. No matter how hard you work in your practice, how hard you work towards your mission and your vision, you can't earn it, because it's already there and you cannot lose it. You can't lose it. Y'all, if you have struggled with money mindset and you're like, man, I've just screwed up so many times. I've been so irresponsible with my credit card. I've made so many mistakes in my life. Whatever mistakes you have made, it doesn't matter. It will never ever trump the love that has been given to you, that you cannot lose regardless of anything. It is there. You can't lose it. If you enjoyed this episode, I would absolutely appreciate if you could give me a 5 stars. I hope you have a blessed day, and I can't wait to chat with y'all soon. Hey friend, thank you for tuning into today's episode. I hope you found inspiration and valuable insight to fuel your journey toward boutique practice freedom and fulfillment. Before you go, I have an exciting announcement to share. The doors for the 2024 Boutique Practice Blueprint are officially open. If you're ready to design a practice that aligns with your values, honors not just your passions, but your other callings as well, whether it's to your family, your spouse, to another hobby, whatever it is, and a practice that also brings true fulfillment, then this program is for you. Join us as we guide you through a transformative journey towards building the boutique practice of your dreams. And right now, with our early bird special, you can save up to $2,000, y'all, on enrollment. But you're going to want to act fast, because the doors are closing soon and there's only so many seats. So don't miss your chance to unlock the secrets to success and create a practice that not only empowers you to live and work on your own terms, but also empowers your ideal clients to truly see transformation in their health without you having to sacrifice the things that are most important to you. Go ahead and visit us at the Boutique Practices website to secure your spot today. Thank you so much for being a part of our community, and I look forward to supporting you on your journey towards practice freedom.